In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. It is a great pleasure to be with you tonight, speaking about our beloved Coptic Orthodox Church. I thank from my heart OCF and Vanderbilt family for giving us this opportunity to be with us tonight. And I remember back in 1993 and 1994, before we have established churches, when the Coptic community in Nashville was small and have about 10 families or 15 families, we used to pray in the chapel in Vanderbilt University here before we build our own churches in Nashville. So it is good pleasure to be here in this blessed place, speaking about a very dear subject to us: history, contribution, and characteristics of the Coptic Orthodox Church. Let me start by asking you a question. Have you ever visited the Holy Land? When we speak about the Holy Land, what comes in our mind? Jerusalem, this place where our Lord Jesus Christ was born, grew up, was crucified, rose from the dead, ascended into the heaven. That's why it is called the Holy Land. But is there any other place called the Holy Land other than Jerusalem? Yes. Egypt is also a Holy Land. Why? Because Egypt is the only country visited by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Family, his mother Saint Mary and Saint Joseph, as we read in the Gospel of Saint Matthew. They stayed in Egypt almost 40 months, 3.5 years, and we take pride that Egypt is the only country beside Jerusalem that was blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Family. And during this time, during his childhood, the Lord started to speak as a child was growing, as an infant was growing. And definitely because he was living in Egypt during this time, so definitely he spoke some Egyptian words, some Egyptian language, which we call it the Coptic language. So I can say that the Lord also uttered as a child and spoke some Coptic words beside, of course, his native language. Egypt has a very rich history of Christianity. The history of Christianity in Egypt is 2,000 years. From the time when St. Mark, the author of the second gospel, visited Egypt and preached Christianity to Egypt until today. And actually, even before the visit of St. Mark, as we read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire upon the apostles, we read in the book of Acts, there were some people from Egypt on the day of Pentecost. And these people, when they returned, actually, they started speaking about Christ, and they paved the way before St. Mark went to Egypt and preached Christianity. And as we'll see tonight, Egypt contributed a lot to Christianity and also to the whole world. Let me start by explaining the word Coptic. The word Coptic is derived from very, very hieroglyphic word, very old hieroglyphic word, which is he Coptah. He means house, God. Ka means God. Ptah is one of the ancient Egyptian gods. So he Coptah actually means the house of God Ptah, one of the ancient Egyptian gods. In Greek, it is Egyptos. And if you compare the letters, Egypt, Egypt, Copt, so the word Copt actually is the word Egypt. So Coptic means Egyptian. The word Coptic means Egyptian. So if we are going to use the meaning of the word, I can say any Egyptian is Coptic, whether he is Christian or non-Christian. So we can say there are Coptic Muslims, Coptic Christian. But now, right now, the word is used mainly to mean Christian. The non-Christian don't call themselves Coptic. But when we say Coptic, means Christian now. So the Coptic Orthodox Church means the Egyptian Orthodox Church. Who are the Copts? The Copts are the descendants of Pharaoh. As we read in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 1, now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah. Noah had three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Ham were Cush. Cush, he went to Ethiopia. That's why until now we call Ethiopia the land of Cush. Mizraim. Mizraim went to Egypt. That's why Egypt also called Misr. Misr, Mizraim, from because our grandfather, his name is Mizraim, as we read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. And in Genesis chapter 10, verse 13, Mizraim had children. One of his children, his name is Kafturim. Kafturim, from which also the word Copt is derived. So we can see in the scripture there is reference to the name of the Egyptian, whether it is Mizraim, Misr, or Kafturim. Let me give you a quick history of the Coptic Orthodox Church. After the Great Commission, when the Lord Jesus Christ, before his ascension, asked the disciples to go and preach the gospel to the whole world and to baptize the believers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one of the 70 apostles was St. Mark, who is also the author of the second gospel in the New Testament. St. Mark went to Egypt and stayed there between 46 and 48 AD. And this was the spark that started Christianity in Egypt. St. Mark also was martyred on the feast of the resurrection feast, on the eve of the resurrection feast, in the streets of Alexandria. They dragged him, and his holy blood smeared the streets of Alexandria. He was martyred in the year 68 AD. When St. Mark went to Egypt, there is a nice story. You know, the Lord said to the disciples, don't take with you two tunics, don't take with you money on your belts, don't take with you staff, don't take with you two shoes. And St. Mark obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ literally. So when he arrived at Alexandria, his sandal was torn. So he wanted to repair his sandal. He went to a place to repair his sandal, and the person who's repairing his shoes, actually, he wounded himself. So he cried in Greek, Eiotheos, calling on God. So St. Mark told him, do you know God? And a dialogue started between St. Mark and this person whose name was Anianus. And here we see the fruit of obedience when St. Mark obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ and did not carry two shoes with him. He met Anianus. And Anianus became the first bishop of Alexandria. And his house became the first church in Alexandria. St. Mark ordained a bishop, Anianus, and deacons and priests. And after the martyrdom of St. Mark, Anianus became the patriarch of the Coptic Orthodox Church. So St. Mark, we consider him the first patriarch, and Anianus number two. And the Coptic Church used to call their patriarch Pope, Papa in Coptic. Papa means Pope, means father. So actually the Coptic Church used the word Pope for the patriarch even before the Roman Catholic. And now, what we call apostolic succession, because every patriarch with at least two bishops, ordained bishops, and when the patriarch departs, then a successor is chosen to replace him. So we have actually an interrupted chain from St. Mark to our current Pope, His Holiness Pope Tawadros II. His picture here on your right hand. So Pope Tawadros is number 118 in an uninterrupted chain. Before him, His Holiness Pope Shenouda, may the Lord repose his soul. He departed in the Lord in March 2012. So next week we will celebrate 5 years on his departure. Nashville was blessed by the visit of His Holiness Pope Shenouda in the year 2000, and also was blessed with the visit of His Holiness Pope Tawadros in the year 2015. So both Pope Shenouda and Pope Tawadros visited Nashville here. But God actually prepared Egypt before the arrival of St. Mark. As we read in Romans chapter 1, that the knowledge of God is in our heart. So even pagans, they searched for God. And God revealed himself in a mystical way, even to the pagan, to prepare their hearts to the coming of Christ and to accept Christianity. Egyptians, even before St. Mark, were spiritual. Although pagans, yet they believed in eternity. And they believed that life after death, after we die, there is life, eternal life. And they believed in heavenly things. If you visited Egypt and you saw the great pyramids, what's pyramid? Pyramid was actually a tomb. What made the Egyptian to build this huge tomb? The pyramids, because they believed in life after death. They believed in Trinity. They believed in Isis, Osiris, and Horus. And God prepared them to accept the dogma of the triune God. Also, they had a symbol called Ankh. Ankh in Coptic means life, which is a symbol of life. And you can see how the Ankh, very, very similar to cross, because the cross is our life. Through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we moved from death to life. And as I told you, they built huge pyramids and were concerned with embalming of the dead, because they believed in the war between good and evil, and they believed in eternal life. The war between good and evil, on the right hand, we can see the war between Horus and Seth. So here, Horus battled with Seth, which reminds us about the war between Archangel Michael and Satan. And you read in the letter of Jude how Archangel Michael fought with Satan regarding the body of Moses the prophet. In the New Testament, you can read it in the letter of Jude. Therefore, even before hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, Egyptians were able, through their meditation, reflection upon, and searching for God, to reach to the same revelations about Him. This definitely helped them when St. Mark came and preached them to accept Christianity. Now, we know there are hundreds of denominations: Oriental Orthodox, Catholic, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Baptist, Evangelical, Episcopal, many, many denominations. So where does Coptic Orthodox Church fall among other denominations? Until year 45, all Christians were one church in communion with each other. Sorry, this until year 451, because the first split happened in the 5th century, in the Council of Chalcedon. So until year 451, all Christians were one church in communion with each other. Until year 451, there was no denomination. And there were five important sees for Christianity, places, centers for Christianity. Christianity started in Jerusalem, then from Jerusalem went to Antioch, and went to Alexandria, and went to Rome, and to Asia Minor. So we have the Coptic Church, Church of Jerusalem, the Antiochian Church, the Roman Church, and Ephesus became later on Constantinople, when Emperor Constantine built in the place of Turkey right now, Constantinople to be the second to Rome. And as we read in the book of Acts, Antioch was the first place where the followers of Christ called Christians. Instead of calling them followers of Christ or disciples of Christ, so in Antioch they were called Christian. Asia Minor also was preached by Saint John the Beloved, the theologian, but was not one of the very old sees. But when King Constantine became emperor, he made Christianity the official religion of his empire and wanted to build a new Rome in Asia Minor. And he called it Constantinople, which is Turkey right now. And it became one of the sees during the time of the Ecumenical Council. By the middle of the 5th century, 451 exactly, there were five sees: Rome, Constantinople, Antioch, Jerusalem, and Alexandria. All these churches attended the first three ecumenical councils. First council in Nicaea, 325 AD. Second one in Constantinople, 381 AD. Third one in Ephesus, 431 AD. Unfortunately, when Satan could not destroy the church by persecution, so Satan started to attack the church from within. Satan found by attacking church from outside, trying to destroy the church from outside, the church became stronger and stronger. And the blood of the martyrs became the seed of faith. So Satan started to split the church from within, to weaken the church. And unfortunately, in year 451, in the Council of Chalcedon, the first split happened. It happened about the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a big theological dialogue, but also there was some political tension, and there was some misinterpretation and misunderstanding of the terminology. In this council, many churches did not agree with the tome of Leo, which speaks about two separate natures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those churches which accepted the tome of Leo were called Chalcedonian, because they agreed on the rules and canons of the council at Chalcedon. And they believed in diaphysis. Dia means two, physis nature. And those who did not accept it were called non-Chalcedonian. And they believed in Miaphysis, and unfortunately, until today, in most of the Western resources, they accuse us that we believe in monophysis, and they call us monophysite. And this one of the false accusation against the Coptic Orthodox Church. Mono means single, which means God, our Lord Jesus Christ, either human or divine. And they falsely accuse us that we follow the heresy of Eutychus, who said that his humanity was swallowed up in his divinity. But we never believed or followed the heresy of Eutychus. The Coptic Church excommunicated Eutychus when he said the humanity was absorbed in his divinity. But we follow the teaching of Saint Cyril of Alexandria, Miaphysis. Mia means one from two. There is difference between single and one. So the Coptic Orthodox Church is a non-Chalcedonian church. And we follow the teaching of Saint Cyril of Alexandria, who is one of the greatest theologians. In Greek, he said, Mia physis to eio to theo se sarcomini. Mia means one. Physis, nature. Eio theo means word of God. Se sarcomini, incarnate. And I hope that the Western references take notice of this and correct this false accusation. We are not monophysite, we are meaphysite. Meaphysis to eio to theo se sarcomini. What does this mean? We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect human and a perfect divine. His humanity is perfect and his divinity is perfect. We believe also that these two natures were united together in a mystical way, in a way that is incomprehensible to our mind, without mingling, without confusion, and without alteration. So we don't say that the two natures were confused when they united together, or mingled together, or one nature changed. This was actually the first split, and from the time of Chalcedon until now, we hold fast to the teaching of Saint Cyril, one nature to the incarnated Son of God, Word of God. Then the second split . This screen has the words of Saint Cyril, Mea Physis to Eio to Theos Sarcomin. The second split happened among the Chalcedonian, and this known in the history books by the Great Schism. It happened in year 1054. And in this year, there was a split between the East and the West. And it was about the Filioque, which is the procession of the Holy Spirit. Filioque means the Son. Rome added to the Nicene Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceed from the Father and the Son. And the Son in Latin means Filioque. So, but if you read John chapter 15, verse 26, it is clear that the Holy Spirit proceeds only from the Father, not from the Son. So when Rome added the word Filioque in Latin, which means the Son, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, The East, Constantinople, rejected this term, and a split happened between or among the Chalcedonian churches. So now, by year 1054, the middle of the 11th century, we have three main groups. The first group is the non-Chalcedonian churches, and we are one, the Coptic Orthodox Church, one of this group. We believe in meiphesis, and we believe in the procession of the Holy Spirit from the Father only. Then Easter, Chalcedonian churches believe in two natures, diaphysis, procession of the Holy Spirit from the Father only. And Western Chalcedonian churches, diaphysis, procession of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son. Now each group has a name. The first group is called Oriental Orthodox Churches. The Eastern Chalcedonian called Eastern Orthodox Churches. The Western Chalcedonian called the Roman Catholic Churches. Then another split happened. That is the third split. It happened in the Roman Catholic Church around the 16th century. A Catholic monk from Germany, Martin Luther, of course, it was different from Martin Luther King, wanted to reform the Catholic Church. Therefore, he split and protested many practices done by the Catholic Church. And he started the Lutheran Church, and because they protested the Roman Catholic, they are called Protestant, from the word protest. And after Luther, they called for liberal theology. And because of the liberal theology, many other denominations started to be formed after that. Another split, the fourth split, it happened also in the Roman Catholic Church in year 1531, when King Henry VIII wanted to divorce his wife. But the Catholic Church did not approve it. So he split from the Catholic Church, divorced his wife, and made himself the head of the church. His church was called the Anglican Church, which means the Church of England. And when people from the Anglican Church immigrated to America, they used the term Episcopal Church for themselves. So our family, the Oriental Orthodox Church, now are composed of six churches: the Coptic Orthodox Church, or the Egyptian Church, Eritrean Orthodox Church, Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Syrian, or the non-Chalcedonian part of the Antiochian Orthodox Church, Indian Orthodox Church, and Armenian Orthodox Church. As for the other family, the Eastern Orthodox Church, there are about 16 different churches whose names are based on the country, like Greek Orthodox from Greece, Russian Orthodox from Russia, Romanian Orthodox from Romania, and so on. So this diagram, in after the Council of Chalcedon, we have two families: the non-Chalcedonian churches who believed in the meiphesis, and the Chalcedonian churches who believed in the diaphysis. Then the Chalcedonian church is split into two families. The Eastern Orthodox Church rejected Filioque, and the Roman Catholic added Filioque. Then from the Roman Catholic, we have the Lutheran Church in the 16th century, and the Anglican Church also in the 16th century, and many denominations because of the liberal theology now existed. Back in 1964, a dialogue started between the two Orthodox families, the Oriental and the Eastern. This dialogue started back in 1964, but the dialogue became more serious in the 80s. And in 1989, there is a mistake on the screen, in 1989, a very important document was signed between the theologian of the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Oriental Orthodox Church. And this statement is called the agreed statement between the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Oriental Orthodox Church. The statement, we can summarize it in that both families agreed that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect human and perfect divine. And the two natures are united together without mingling and without confusion and without alteration. And we excommunicate both Nestorius, who spoke about two separate natures, and Eutychus, who spoke about a single nature. The last part of our lecture, I like to speak about the contribution of the Coptic Orthodox Church to Christianity and to the whole world. First thing is monasticism. The first monk and the father of monasticism in the whole world is Coptic Egyptian from Upper Egypt, born and grew up in Bani Suif, Saint Anthony the Great. Any monk in the whole world, whether Catholic, whether Eastern Orthodox or Oriental Orthodox, he would say, I am son of Saint Anthony. And Saint Anthony is the first monk in the whole world, and he's from Egypt. And also Saint Paula, the first hermit, he is from Egypt. Monasticism knew three forms. The first form we called hermetic monasticism. It is complete isolation. They live in caves by themselves, like St. Paul, the first hermit, who also was Egyptian. And we see how the raven used to bring, by a miracle from God, used to bring to him half loaf of bread every day to feed him. The second form is called synoptic monasticism, like live together in fellowship, koinonia. It is founded by Saint Pachomius from Upper Egypt. Monks live together in communion, and the monastery is like a village having abbot and rules. The third is semi-hermetic monasticism, and that is the most common form right now. Most of our monasteries right now keep the balance between solitary life and communal life. So monks live together in the same place, which is called monastery, but each one has a separate cell. And they gather for communal prayer, divine liturgy, spiritual meeting. And here in America, we have two monasteries. One monastery in the Southern Diocese in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's called St. Mary and St. Moses Monastery. This monastery used to be a Benedictine monastery. And when actually they put it for sale, we purchased the monastery, and now it's a Coptic Orthodox monastery. The other monastery in California, it's called St. Anthony Monastery. And these are pictures for monasteries. On the left side, that is El Surian Monastery, where actually I was blessed to be a monk in this monastery, and I lived my monastic life in this monastery, El Surian Monastery, in the desert of Wadi Natron in Egypt. And these are two other monasteries, St. Anthony and St. Paula Monasteries. Also, a very important monastery is El Muharrak Monastery. That's in Asyut. Why I say it is one of the very important monasteries? Because the Holy Family, during their flight to Egypt, stayed in this place for some time. And a monastery was built in this place where the Holy Family lived. And if you draw a line from the northeast point in Egypt to the most southern point in Egypt, and from the east to west, these two lines will meet in a point in the middle. So this point will be the middle of Egypt. And El Muharrak Monastery is exactly in this point, in the middle of Egypt, middle between north and south, east and west. And this reminds me with what we read in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. So this prophecy was not only fulfilled symbolically that there will be a church in Egypt and Christianity in Egypt, but literally also, because the Muharrak Monastery is exactly in the midst of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. Another contribution of the Coptic Church is in the field of theology, teaching and keeping the dogma. The first theological school in the world of Christianity was the School of Alexandria. And the dean of this school used to be ordained as the Patriarch and Pope of Alexandria. Many great theologians graduated in this school. In the first three ecumenical councils, the Coptic Church leaders were the pioneers. Saint Athanasius in the Council of Nicaea, and Saint Athanasius wrote the Nicene Creed. So any church that pray and use the Nicene Creed, they are using a statement written by a Coptic from Egypt, Saint Athanasius. And on the left side, that is the icon of Saint Athanasius. That is Coptic iconography. That's Coptic iconography. In the second, in the Council of Constantinople, Pope Timothy the 22nd was the hero of this council, and Sincere of Alexandria in the third council, the Council of Ephesus. Coptic Orthodox Church defended the faith against all heresies and kept the faith unchanged and unaltered. And until now, when I told you about the dialogue between the Eastern and the Oriental Orthodox families, His Holiness Pope Shenouda of the Thrice Blessed Memory is the one who wrote the statement that both families agreed on it. The creed recited by all the churches was composed by Coptic saints from Egypt, Saint Athanasius. And Saint Athanasius is known by his very well-known book, The Incarnation of the Logos. Another contribution is martyrdom. We call the Coptic Church the Church of Martyrs. During the time of Diocletian, hundreds of thousands of martyrs from all ages were killed in Egypt, whether individually or in groups. But martyrdom did not stop at 4th century. 2 years ago, I'm sure many of you heard about it, 21 Coptic were martyred in Libya by the terrorist ISIS. Back in December 2016, 3 months ago, another terrorist bombed a church, Al-Butrusiyya, next to the main cathedral in Egypt. And almost 30 martyrs shed their blood during the divine liturgy. And when you read this, you hear the statement of their families, you can see how the Coptic Christians don't fear death and they are ready to die for Christ. And we will not deny our faith, but we will be faithful and honest to this faith, even if we shed our blood for the name of Christ. So, until now, monasticism, martyrdom, teaching, you can find it richly in the Coptic Orthodox Church. The last point is evangelism. Egypt preached Christianity in Europe, namely Switzerland. Switzerland, the patron saint is San Verina. San Verina was a nurse from Upper Egypt. And she went with Egyptian legion headed by St. Maurice to Switzerland. And beside their work there, they preached Christianity. And that's why the patron saint of Switzerland until now is Saint Verina. Also, 7 monks from Egypt preached Christianity in Ireland. Most of the African churches are considered daughter churches to the Coptic Orthodox Church, like Ethiopia, like Eritrea. And until now, actually, Coptic Church has missions. I have mission in China, I have mission in Japan, we have mission in Africa, in Kenya, in Johannesburg, in many African countries. I have mission in South America, in Brazil, in Bolivia, in Mexico. So, until now, the Coptic Church is active in the field of evangelism. Also, Coptic Church fathers contributed a lot to doctrines and spiritual writing. I was visiting Spain 2 years ago. Then one of the monks from the Catholic Church gave me a book. He translated to Spanish the writing of San Pachomius. So I told him, I didn't see this book either in Arabic or in English. Can you tell me the name of the book in English so I can read it, because I don't read Spanish? So he told me, no, you'll not find it. So I asked him, then how you translate it to Spanish? So he told me, for 7 years, I learned the Coptic language until I mastered the Coptic language in order to be able to translate the Coptic treasures of the early church fathers and early desert fathers to Spanish. So he translated this book from Coptic language to Spanish. So their writings are very, very enriching, and that's why, you know, people studied like this monk for 7 years to master the Coptic language in order to translate the Coptic treasures from Coptic to Spanish. I conclude my lecture by saying I thank God that He gave us this blessing to be born in the Coptic Orthodox Church with this great history, with this great heritage. But this blessing has also responsibility. As the Lord said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we will be accountable before God if we don't let the light of the Coptic Church shine in the whole world. It is our responsibility. If God entrusted us with this great heritage, then it is our responsibility to let this light to shine before the whole world. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.